This is Marketplace. I'm Kimberly Adams. Making resolutions for the new year might feel weird when it seems like, at least when it comes to where we are in the pandemic, a lot of what we're going through is distressingly similar to last year. Even though a lot of things are meaningfully better than they were last year, the dragging on of the pandemic can make it difficult to see that forward progress, especially with many of us still reeling from illness or loss of a loved one, a job, or just our old way of life. This time last year, I spoke with psychotherapist Megan Devine about grieving the old economy, and we gave her a call to see how things have changed since then. Megan Devine, it's good to talk to you again.
Again. I wish this was under better circumstances, but I am, regardless, glad to be back.
When we spoke a year ago, you said that we, as a country, were getting better at acknowledging loss, but you stopped short of saying that we were better at grieving. Where do you think we are now?
I think the acknowledgement wave is spreading.
Mm-hmm.
Dealing with it, I think we've made some progress, but I certainly don't think we've turned the ship around quite yet.
And what are the consequences of not having made it to that next step?
Ooh, that's a good one. So this sort of aversion to telling the truth about grief shows up in suicidality, addiction, loneliness, depression. It shows up in pretty much every social or cultural sphere. So many things will start to improve when we start to really tell the truth about grief and what helps and what doesn't.
You mentioned that it shows up in sort of our social and cultural interactions, but it's also showing up at work.
Yeah, the impacts of not just grief related to death, but sort of that broad sweep of how hard it is to be human in a lot of different ways. I mean, we've got morale issues, certainly huge morale issues in certain industries. Also, you know, sick days or the economic toll of depression. I was thinking about how that sort of flips the script on how we think about the impacts of mental health and wellness on the economy or on the business world. We think like we need people to be happy, healthy, productive members of society to improve the bottom line. And actually the reverse is true in my experience, that the more we allow the full breadth of human emotionality, so not just happy and productive, the more that we sort of apply skill to human interpersonal relationships and grief and loss, the ramifications of overhauling the way that we understand the human emotional reality and how we deal with it, the ripple effects of doing that better and more correctly, like, are just immeasurable.
Speaking of ripple effects, when we do think of the sheer number of people who have died in the pandemic, COVID deaths, those who died because they couldn't access care when hospitals were full, substance abuse related deaths, that has the ripple effect of just a huge part of the country actively grieving loss of friends and family. What has that meant for the grief counseling industry?
Oh, that's such a good question. I can say that therapists, so social workers, mental health providers, are swamped and overwhelmed. So there is huge pressure and huge demand for mental health support at a time when we've got people leaving the industry because of multiple reasons, and they're also swimming in this same sea and living through all of these losses. And then I think we're running up against the unfortunate reality here that most clinicians are not trained in really skillful, insightful ways to deal with grief, and certainly not grief on this scale.
Mm.
It's a really tricky moment for this industry.
When we talked before, we discussed sort of grieving the old economy, and then we never anticipated that we'd still be here. And I wonder what the consequences are of that, particularly as it relates to how well we are as a country processing that we probably aren't going back to the way things were.
Yeah. Outside of pandemic time, if we look at what very often happens for people grieving a death, the second year is when it starts to sort of settle in that, oh, this isn't changing. And it's about that time that the people around that grieving person start to sort of move on with their own lives. Like they get back to things mm-hmm. and they think that their grieving friend or family member should be all better by now. I think we're living in that as a culture. We can't tell ourselves in 6 months it's going to be better. Like we don't know that. And so it becomes more about how do we live with uncertainty in a way that feels connecting? And mm-hmm. what do we want to do to help ourselves live what we are being asked to live?
What are some strategies for that?
Well, one, I think the very first thing, and it sort of covers everything we've been talking about, is telling the truth. I think that my biggest problem with the ways that we've dealt with grief for decades is lying about it, right? Pretending we're okay when we're not. And it seems counterproductive or counterintuitive, like, wait a minute, I'm just supposed to say that things suck and then things will get better. Well, in a way, yes, right? Telling the truth about what we're struggling with lets us, one, like feel like we can connect with other people because we're not pretending to be something else. And two, when we know what's difficult, we can more accurately assess what can be changed, where we need more support, and where we need more connection.
Megan Devine is a psychotherapist and the author of It's Okay That You're Not Okay, Meeting Grief and Loss in a Culture That Doesn't Understand. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome.